The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Leftovers Podcast with Derek Kramer.
I'm going to say a stupid thing right now. Pudding. Where's my money?
Frank R. Curry.
I didn't say run through a wall. Do it again? Okay.
And Kyle Powell.
When the Sabres were actually in a playoff spot for the entire year.
On WGR550.com.
Welcome into another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank R. Curry.
And Kyle Powell.
There we go. Whole gang. Again. We're running a streak. Look at this. And that streak's probably going to end on Monday.
Yeah.
Because someone's going on vacation. And by my rules, someone else is taking a day off. Because you have to be off for 4 days and going somewhere else. Or it was three or more days and going somewhere else. And that's not me. That's Frank. But I am taking the day off. So take that. And then there's Kyle, who's just going to be sitting here.
I might just be an hour of silence. I may just torture you people. I'll just turn the mic on and see what happens.
I mean, first off, I would love to see that.
Because, don't tempt me.
Because I would love to see what kind of madness you could create. You've kind of gotten to that point where you can. Anyway, speaking of madness, how about this Jeff Skinner thing? It still hasn't happened. From our last podcast, it was inevitable, it seemed.
Or so we thought.
And I'm still not worrying. Unless Jeff Skinner's agent or Skinner himself says the words, yeah, we're just going to try out free agency because we want to look at it. I'm not panicking. I'm okay. I'm in a good place here. I think they've got the term and the money all figured out. So I guess the problem is, what's the holdup? It seems like there might only be one thing. What if Skinner thinks he can get more in free agency? The Sabres are paying him a hefty amount, and Skinner might think, hey, there might be something else there. Or there just might be another team he wants to play for, or he just wants to try out free agency because, you know, there's only really one chance to get that kind of payday.
I think that has a little to do with it, with why he hasn't signed yet. I don't think it's the main reason. I think mostly it could also be no movement, no trade clauses. Maybe the Sabres don't want to give him a no movement.
Perhaps.
Or Ann Skinner wants a no move clause. Sabres want to give him like a modified no trade or something.
It could be the finer
details. Or signing bonus.
Yeah, this could be the finer details.
I think signing bonus has a lot more to do with it than the actual numbers and how much Skinner thinks he could get, what the Sabres are paying him, things like that.
Yeah.
Because, well, what's likely going to be coming to the NHL in the next couple of years?
Potential lockout.
I'll say not Seattle, a lockout. So players want their contracts more front-loaded now so that they can have money. Yep, and that they can have their money so that when a lockout does come, they're fine. They could go play for, you know, nothing overseas if they want to, or something like that. Or they could just, you know, sit at home and sit on their money.
Yeah.
Literally, they could sit on their money.
They literally could, yeah. I mean, like, Austin Matthews' new contract is a five-year deal around, like, $55 million, something. He's getting paid, like, over $11 million a year. And he's getting, like, $11 million in signing bonus July 1st and next July 1st.
You could definitely make a solid interior of a house with furniture on $55 million cash.
Probably. I mean, how many people need to be able to sit on their money for the lockout?
I'm wrong. Matthews signed a little more, $58 million over 5 years. His signing bonus for the next 2 years is over $15 million. He's getting paid $30 between this July 1st and next. Of that $58 million.
Come on, Jack. What were you thinking? You had no lockout foresight with your signing bonuses.
Yeah. But you see with the way
get Eichel, that man a new agent.
You see with the way Eichel's contract is structured, I think that might be what's holding it up. Botro wants to do something like that, or something similar, where he doesn't want to give massive signing bonuses so early. That might be, I think that's what's holding it up. I think it's sounding like it's all in agreement that it's 8 years, $9 million. Now it's a matter of how's he getting paid that $72 million over 8 years?
The finer details.
Exactly.
The clause thing might actually be your biggest point as to why something might not be done. Because some players want that
fail-safe. I think it's number two only because Skinner's last contract had the last 2 years of a no movement already. So you know he's going to want, you already know he's going to want a no movement throughout the whole thing, throughout the whole contract. Maybe the Sabres are going to try to talk him into a modified no trade or something. That one is more easier to come, okay, we'll just do the no movement. And then but I think it's the signing, I think signing bonuses have a lot more to do with contracts today and why they don't take, why they're not so quick.
Yeah, but I think though at the end of the day here with Skinner signing an 8 year deal, that puts him to what, 35?
Yep.
Yeah.
I would like to make sure that there's no movement clause at the end of this contract.
Oh, I'm sure.
And that's
of it
probably
too.
Where I think the real holdup is on this. When you brought it up, it made probably the most sense. Is that, yeah, you know what? If I'm the Sabres, I don't want a no movement heading toward the end of this thing in like the last 3 years. Maybe that's where they're just shaking some things. Because Botterill remains confident.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph Kruger mentioned something along the lines of he had a conversation with Skinner and there was an opportunity for Skinner to change the direction of the conversation and he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like Skinner still wants to be here. Fine details, hammering them out. Oh, that does take a couple extra weeks sometimes.
This might come down to where maybe the last 2 years of the contract becomes a no trade,
yeah,
instead of a no movement.
Yeah. They might just be working on finer details.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I'm still not worried. And if you are worried, go ride a bike. We talked about how therapeutic that was
last
episode.
That's right, we did.
Yeah,
we did. And by the way, we have to remember, too, that Botterill has other things he has to do as GM besides,
you know,
the Skinner contract.
The draft, free agency.
He's got other players that he's talking to.
Stuff.
You know, McCabe. Other agents that he's talking to figure out futures for players.
Yeah, McCabe, Rodriguez.
Oh, and by the way, don't forget, the agents are busy too. The agents do a majority of the negotiating for their players
and
for their clients.
And obviously Skinner is not the only one
who's
represented by his agent.
Exactly. He represents other players too.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to deal with all of them as well. Because I was arguing with a buddy from high school on Twitter about like he says that Botterill's a bad GM because the Skinner contract's not done right now. And other things too, but he said that was one of the reasons. And I'm trying to tell him like these things take time. You know, Botterill has other things he has to worry about too. He's not working on the Skinner contract 24/7. And he's not the only one who thinks that way. You know that there are many other Sabres fans who think the same way.
Yeah. Again, there's enough reason to see why it's getting held up, but it's not enough for me to go ahead and go, okay, everyone panic. Now comes the question, though. How open do you think Jason Botterill is going to need to be if this breaks down? Because he's been so confident with this whole thing. Like,
it could be a scramble.
What kind of answers are you looking for? Because that's going to be, you've got some explaining to do to me, Chief, and you better start talking. What happened? That would just be my question. Just what happened? You were cool, confident, and now he's gone. What happened?
Man.
I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't have, we only have to imagine.
Yes. But I'm still confident
B,
that
plans B, C, D, E, F, and Y will be flying through that
yes.
guy's mind.
Yes, why, as in why did this happen? Yeah. It's just, it is a question that, you know, needs to be brought up, but again, one that I'm not necessarily worried about because I don't think that there's going to be a major concern. Like you said, it's something I just only want to imagine.
Right. If it did become reality, though, who's target B?
Probably Duchesne on big money. Because he plays center. You could get versatile with Duchesne and or Mittelstadt. To put, on the left. So that would probably be my thing, is I think they'd become the most aggressive pursuer of Matt Duchesne. Because that Skinner money now can go there.
Maybe. I think that's most logical, because my brain also went to immediately calling Ray Shiro to begin discussions for Taylor Hall, but then you could be in the potential, you could be in the same
boat. We could be back into where
next
we were.
Year. Knowing that he needs an extension, and he's got an MVP under his belt, and he's vastly underpaid.
And Chereau is not going to go with a second Cliff Poo and another pick.
You're giving up more.
You're giving up more for, as you said, a once MVP of the league. So you're not going to get away with that. Oh, and he also saw how you got that fleecing for Skinner for one season. And he's going to be like, no, man, you're going to give me a little more than that. I don't think so.
Yeah.
You're not pulling that on me.
I think if Skinner walks, I wouldn't be surprised if they went after a guy like Nyquist.
You know what I think they should do? Call Jim Rutherford.
Oh, no.
Yes, bring the club back. The trade for Phil Kessel club.
That died so fast.
I know.
So fast. Like, within a day and a half, it was like, all right, there's rumblings that he goes to Minnesota. And my first thought was, why in the world would you go to Minnesota?
And he thought the same thing.
And yes, he obviously did. And it fizzled quicker than...
And everyone's maybe it's going to be harder to acquire Kessel than we thought.
Yeah, because it seemed like the Penguins backed down within a couple of days and said, all right, we're not going to go as hot onto this as we thought we were going to.
Mm-hmm. How about Jason Zucker? The man's already almost been traded twice. Botchel, finish the deal.
I mean, be real, they could sign Skinner and still trade for Zucker if they could.
Oh, I know, but I'm saying, like, if that didn't, like, if that were to be the doomsday scenario that Skinner leaves, first cheap target I'm going for is Jason Zucker.
Yeah.
How about Winnipeg?
Yes, because you can help out with their restricted problems. Trade for a guy like, say, Kyle Connor, and then let that be your negotiation problem.
I wish.
I'm just saying, then that becomes your problem, not theirs. Renegotiate a new deal?
I see Nyquist.
But Nyquist doesn't give you as much in the long term, I don't think, as even Skinner would, for example.
The reason I think more Nyquist is because he is a UFA, so you don't have to give anything up to get him. You're just going to pay him, you're just going to sign him for, 6 years.
What about, I'm getting dreamy over here and I can't.
I'm ready.
I was like, what about Nikolai Ehlers? That would help them get that cap money for Kyle Connor. Ehlers can play the left or right wing, $6 million per season over the next six years.
Winnipeg,
but then I think to myself, is Winnipeg going to say yes to that? Not really. That's why I'm thinking I'm getting dreamy over here and I should stop.
I think an Ehlers trade could happen this summer but it's all depending on how much they can sign Laine and Connor for.
Yeah, because they have $25 million in cap. While they have a lot of work to do,
they have to worry about Jacob Trouba.
They do.
As well.
Yeah.
They've already traded away Kevin Hayes' rights.
Mm-hmm.
Which probably was to help out with that, though.
Yes.
Well, it just shows that they weren't going to re-sign him anyway.
Well, that too, but still.
And like, now they got something for him.
That's an interesting
team.
You
said they have, what, $25 million? Literally $20 million of that could go to Line A and Connor.
I just looked at the Jets cap friendly page, and the first thing that I'm seeing away from all this is that Mark Scheifele is criminally underpaid.
Yeah. He is.
Is it crazy to think that more of that money should go to Kyle Connor?
No.
Than Patrick Laine?
No, not at all. Connor's shown consistency. Laine had that hot November and then...
Literally 18 goals in a calendar month. Over the whole season, he had 30.
That's nuts.
Yeah. He had an 18-1 goal-to-assist ratio from the first game in November
when
to the last game before December. Three hat tricks in that time. A 5-goal game against the team that is now in the cup final. He could not be stopped for 30 days.
Yeah.
But then the other 5 months of the season, 12 goals.
Oh, I remember that.
What a goofy year.
I was in a fantasy hockey league, and there was a two-week stretch of terror of
facing I believe it.
Patrick Laine. That sucked.
And that makes you wonder, though, because that was such a goofy third year at the end of his entry level, and I wonder what his price is now.
Oh, it's still going to be massive.
I understand it's going to be massive, but go from 44 goals in year two and especially not have that drop-off and then actually have the drop-off in the contract year where literally 67% of your yearly output came in 30 days is just super goofy going into negotiations for me. Meanwhile, Kyle Connor had a 30-goal season, and it was consistent, as Derek said,
right,
all throughout the season.
Right.
My thing though, is if I'm Line A's agent, I'm saying he's gotten you 30 goals at least in each of his first 3 years.
Yeah.
You might be looking at maybe because of that taper, you might be looking at, what, $8 million per?
It depends on what direction they want to go.
Because Kyle Connor's only been on the scene for a couple of years.
But it also depends on the direction.
But like Line A, over 30 goals in each of them. This is tricky for them. Why are we talking about Winnipeg? It's not going to happen.
Because they're an interesting team.
They are.
I really think they are. They have a lot of options on their table. They could blow things up in a minor way, or they can try and keep the core intact, which I think they will. But the decor in Trouba is interesting. They've already traded the rights away to a guy they didn't think they were going to bring back. They have these RFAs they have to nail down. It's a team I'd watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had discussions a couple days ago with Joe. We were looking at Line A's game and his possession metrics, and everything else about his game is pretty poor. He's become a one-trick pony in three seasons, and I was a stand for him. I loved watching him coming up. But
you know what? Crafty as it may be, what about making those talks about Patrick Laine?
Now you're talking my language.
Because Jeff Skinner is a gunner, a certified gunner. He's not great defensively, but man puts a puck in the net. Patrick Laine, not great defensively. He's not really much of a playmaker. He's a gunner. Puts pucks in the net with an elite centerman. And Frank's just done with me right now. Frank is just absolutely done with me. We're not playing NHL 19. I'm just... Apparently, I'm stepping in what Kyle's smelling over here.
This would only be a discussion if Jeff Skinner is out the door. You don't want two of these. You don't want two of these guys.
No. That'd be a problem.
But...
To have one-dimensional guys like that. But yeah. You got me on an interesting little bandwagon there.
There is that report from the fourth period about Line A exploring all of his options this summer, and that could include signing an offer sheet with another team or demanding a trade. 'Cause as we've been saying, Lainey is going to want big money. It's just a matter of, is Winnipeg willing to give him a long-term deal? They might want to go the bridge route.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know what both sides want to do. So if talks regress, or Laine is unhappy with the discussions...
And again, this all comes back to if Jeff Skinner is out the door.
Sure.
It's not even sure. This is all that, like, this is primarily about. We're talking doomsday scenarios, and we're on to plan Y.
That's right. Just in front of plan Z, which is lemon-scented.
What is the lemon-scented plan Z?
Yeah, what is that?
Well, we don't actually know, but if you watch this,
no, I'm gonna try to like, I'm just gonna like click on a team and figure out what lemon scented plan Z is.
All right.
Lemon scented.
I think from what I recall, it involved a lot of remote operated bucket hats.
Oh my god. Oh, my God.
I'm just trying to find out what the most interesting sort of thing on this would be.
Maybe David Hasselhoff and his expanding pecs.
Get David Hasselhoff to sign in the NHL.
Who are
That's
you?
Plan Z.
Plan Z apparently involves David Hasselhoff.
Can we just get The Rock while we're at it?
I'm pretty sure Dwayne Johnson would be fantastic on skates anyway. The dude's a natural athlete.
Yeah, he is, actually. That would be awesome.
Wasn't he on skates in that movie about the Tooth Fairy?
I'm sorry, what?
I don't remember.
Yeah, that was probably a sentence you never thought you'd hear.
Yeah.
No, not really.
I know the movie you're talking about, and I'm like, and the answer is involved. I'm not sure. It might have been. Derek, the movie we're referring to is a movie called The Tooth Fairy. The Tooth Fairy.
We're talking about The Tooth Fairy over here, yeah.
Where The Rock was a Tooth Fairy.
Oh, really? I couldn't have figured that part out.
He wore a tutu and everything.
Of course he did. I'm pretty sure the lemon-scented plan is the one that gets brought up every offseason by Sabres fans, which is, bring back Patrick Kane.
Oh, boy.
Or Thomas Vanek.
That's not really lemon scented. That's more
lime scented.
He can do it.
Holy crap. Is that the Hoff?
What?
Which one is that?
That's The Rock. The Rock on skates.
That's awesome. We should get him to play for our team.
Yes.
There you go. Right handed shot. Probably a nasty sniper.
Probably a booming shot from the point.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He'd probably break a stick every other shot, though. If you think
no
Ristolainen's bad?
Ristolainen, yeah.
Yeah.
You think Ristolainen's bad? The stick output from The Rock would probably be egregious.
It's okay.
Death to all composite.
He won't even take like a sponsored deal. He'll just keep buying a new stick.
Could you imagine trying to skate past that man?
No.
How intimidating that would be?
No, you just wouldn't be able to do it.
Just smile at you.
You see, the stupid thing is, I would try it.
Yeah, and then he'll just
throw, and then I would get wrecked.
He'll just put his hand up, and you'll go right into his hand and fall over.
I would just get wrecked, ragdolled across. Somehow, I'd end up back at my own blue line.
No, you would end up back in the locker room.
I would just end up in the net, like. Oh, hey, Frank. How'd I get here? Long story. Here's the short version. The Rock punched you.
You're lucky you're alive.
Okay, good. I'm going to go to sleep now.
You ran inside and slipped on an ice cube?
No, I would just straight up say I got punched by The Rock. And then slipped on a giant ice cube all the way to the net. Because you see, the problem is, me, I'm dumb, and I try to compete. And that would be the most intimidating, stupid thing ever. Hey, Hollywood, let's make it happen.
He'll just put his hand right on your chest, and you would just be knocked out.
Like I said, I'd get ragdolled if he sneezed on me. He would try to poke check me. Next thing you know, I'm flying into the bench.
Sounds about right.
What the hell are we talking about?
Remember? Wait, I got another one.
No, we're done here. I'm bringing the show back.
No, I got one more. Do you remember the Superman glitch in like NHL 13?
Oh, God.
That would be you.
Just trying to get in front of that.
you just get destroyed. Goodbye. Next thing you know, there's a hole in the roof.
Goodbye.
Where'd Derek go?
Moon Man. I gotta get the show back on course. This is your fault, Kyle.
That wasn't my fault.
You brought up The Rock.
You're fantastic.
What the crap? That's right, because I'm trying to find the lemon scented plan, and it ended up on David Hasselhoff and Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Then he'll rock bottom you to end it.
Of course, that's how anything ends, right? You would think, right? No, people's elbow.
Yeah, people's elbow.
That's a lot easier probably to execute on the ice.
Imagine The Rock doing the people's elbow. Doing like the whole showboating spiel too.
Yeah. You'd have a lot of things to throw off. Just throw off the gloves and then you throw off the elbow pad and...
Brings up the arm sleeve, takes off the elbow pad, just throws it.
You just got
to
throw
gloves? Just skates to one board, skates to the other board, and then...
Is it bad that I now want to celebrate that if I score a goal in the 11 day?
No.
No as in not bad, or no as in don't do it?
No as in do it.
Okay. All right, we got to get back on track here. And you know what? I guess we're just abandoning all these other talks because we went from Skinner doomsday scenario to The Rock freaking ragdolling me across an ice rink.
Welcome to the Leftovers Podcast.
Nicely done, Frank.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
So let's get back on track with some more hockey. Everything is okay again because the St. Louis Blues evened up the series and I'm happy, and game five is tonight. And come on, Blues. Come on, not Boston. Let's go. Let's do this thing. So Daniel Char looks like he's playing.
Him and Grizzlick are both.
Is it tomorrow?
No, it's tonight.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I'm not sounding like
him and him and Grizzlick are both game time decisions. And funny thing with Chara, the NHL PR is announcing, has already said that he can't even talk.
He is currently talking with the media and writing out his answers.
Yeah.
You do need to talk to play hockey.
Yeah, but this is also Zdeno Chara we're talking about.
There needs to be a form of communication on the ice, Chara or not. He may have seen it all, but his defensive partner may not have. You better bet with a broken jaw, he's probably not playing with McAvoy because they're going to limit his ice time.
Yeah, so they'll just probably put Torrey Krug there.
You're still going to give Chara top 4 minutes?
We'll see.
I'd probably put him on the third pairing.
I think Chara has the better chance to play than Grizzlick. Because wasn't Grizzlick concussed?
Yes.
He practiced in a red.
I think he's cleared, but he might not trust it.
Yeah, he practiced in a red.
That's more of a concern.
Jersey yesterday, and will be as game time can be.
But, yeah, if he's cleared the concussion protocol, he can at least mm-hmm. have the chance to suit up. But from what it sounds like, Boston doesn't want to rush him back in the lineup, knowing that they at least have one more game after this.
Yeah.
Like, the series doesn't end tonight. So they can go ahead and say, we can get him back for game six.
I can see Chara playing just because he wants to. He just doesn't care.
You see, the thing is, I've never hated Zdeno Chara. I've never really had a problem with him. Does he sometimes, like, use his 6'9 frame to his advantage? Yes. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Somebody uses something that was given to them naturally.
But I kind of actually get annoyed when Char gets booed when he touches the puck in Buffalo. Like, what did Char even do to us? Lucic and Marchand are the real villains of the Bruins' past, right?
Yeah.
And Marchand in the present. Because he's just Brad Marchand. But like, what has Zdeno Chara really ever done? Last time I remember, he like ragdolled Derek Roy or something after a whistle. That's the best I've got.
I can remember the him going after Gostad after game 5 in 2010.
Okay.
But that's it. But even then, like, that was just stemmed from stuff that went on beforehand.
And not to mention, Paul Gostad ain't the smallest guy in the room.
Yeah.
He's not Zdeno Chara. But who is? Like, the fans that boo Zdeno Chara now are the same fans that were probably like, Tyler Myers needs to goon it up with his 6'7 frame.
Yeah.
He's still just a kid. Calm down.
I mean, it's also, I mean, he is the captain of the Bruins.
I know, but what I'm saying, though, is that those people
he's never really done anything to, like, he's never done a Chris Neal.
Yeah, exactly.
He's never done Lucic.
He hasn't even done a Jimmy VC type of offense, and I think that one should stop getting booed.
That one shouldn't have gotten booed to begin with.
Yeah, Tim Murray should have got booed.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm just saying, like, the fans that boo the players on home ice, at this point, I don't know what the hell they're doing.
It's something to do.
I guess,
yeah.
But you know what? The team's so bad, you could just boo them instead.
Usually happens anyway.
That would be a long, long boo session.
Fair enough.
That doesn't have to happen again this year. All right. So
I don't know. I don't know. Usually, it all depends on who has the puck.
True. All right. So it's down to 3-game series. Who we got tonight?
I think with the injuries, I think St. Louis wins tonight. I can't give you a series winner yet.
That's fine. I'm only asking about tonight.
Because I still have this dark feeling that St. Louis can win, have a chance to clinch it twice, and lose. Which would be awful. Also, it would also be very peak St. Louis.
Peak St. Louis. Heading into tonight's game, Boston is a 7-4 record on home ice this year. St. Louis, 8-3 on the road.
At this point, we're looking at similar records for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's contingent on Char and Grizzlick.
I think it's contingent on St. Louis needs to once again avoid the penalty box. They did it well in game 4.
That too, yes, but I'm saying if Chara, if Chara plays and Grizzlick doesn't, this is anyone's game. If Chara is out, you're looking at Krug and McAvoy as your top pairing, which St. Louis has done a good job of using their heavy hitters to get to the Bruins players. That's going to make it worse on a guy like Torrey Krug, who's a smaller player. And now he's been great, but he's also been great in his role. Give him more, you don't know what you're getting. And not just assuming Krug would be paired with McAvoy. They could just easily keep Krug and Carlo together.
Or you can look at what happened at practice.
Yeah.
John Moore took Chara's place on the left with McAvoy on the top pairing.
So there you go. Then
that doesn't shock me.
Right.
John Moore?
So
what that means is that's the preparation if Char's not playing tonight. Or he does, but it's a limited role. That means they want to keep Krug and Carlo together on the second pair. They don't want to bump Krug up.
Who and where was Zdeno with? Because I read
Char's always been paired with McAvoy.
Char's been working as the seventh.
That's what I'm saying, because he took part, but...
He wasn't on pairings during practice on Wednesday.
Right, because they're just seeing how he feels.
Oh, you're
if
reading
he can
stuff
go.
From yesterday.
Yeah, I'm reading from yesterday's
I'm
practice.
I'm talking morning
what they were
skate
doing.
Today. He took part in that.
Yeah, morning skate, I can't... I would imagine he was probably with McAvoy then, but... You know, if Chara and Grizzly are out, John Moore becomes the top pair of defensemen with McAvoy.
Yeah.
That is, go get them, St. Louis.
And that's also saying that they want to keep Krug and Carlo together. That's probably more of it. They don't want to split that pairing up because they would have to.
And Moore, who took Grizzly's place in the lineup, Steven Kampfer has been the player brought in on the third pairing.
With Clifton.
Yes. Brandon Carlo, Torrey Krug has been untouched.
Right. That's exactly.
But yeah, Steven Kampfer is the name that gets brought in if
both of them are out.
Both of them are out.
I think Steven Kampfer scored a goal against Buffalo this year.
Probably. But you see what I mean. Like, yeah, if both of them
well,
are out, go get
them. He scored three goals all year.
He did.
And I wonder who could find the splits faster. Kyle, you were right. He played one game against Buffalo and scored a goal.
That name just sounded too familiar. I feel like I typed that out one night. Who in the world is Steven Kampfer and why is he scoring goals
all
against
right.
the Sabres? There
I've
you go.
Got a challenge now for you guys. His other goals this season have been against Eastern Conference teams. Guess the other two.
Both regular season, right?
Both regular season. Okay. He's got three goals in this regular season. Three goals, three assists. Buffalo was one team. The other two teams, one was in the Metropolitan, one was in the Atlantic.
Carolina.
Kyle, one for one.
Pressure's on you, big dog.
Steven Kampfer scored against what team in the Metropolitan?
Didn't he score against Carolina?
Wait.
One for one. Boom! Boom!
I said Carolina.
Oh, wait, you said Carolina.
He has to go from the Atlantic.
Yes, that's right.
No, I know. I was about to say, didn't he score against Carolina twice then?
Nope.
Because didn't he score against them in the playoffs?
Well, maybe. But we're talking the regular season here.
Okay.
He just pulled out the same one for one for the same team.
Well, yeah, that's my bad. All right, what Atlantic team did he score against, Frank? I got too excited.
I have a feeling it's probably a team he used to play for.
You got a 1-1.
Who the hell did he used to play for?
I have no idea.
You got a 1-6 chance, right? Eliminate Buffalo and Boston off the rip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have actually better odds than Kyle had.
I have a feeling it's a team he used to play for. I'm going to say Florida.
1-2.
Wow.
Frank, ha! Kyle. 2-2.
Ha!
Right here.
Hell yeah.
I remember he played for Florida at one point.
How do you know that?
Because the name sounds familiar.
Who the hell is Steven Kampfer?
I don't know. Some third pairing guy.
And yet you know that he played for Florida.
I just remember seeing the name in a Florida jersey a couple years ago.
Sure. That could have been like in training camp or preseason too.
No, in games. In games.
I'm just saying.
Can I read this tweet from John Warrow real quick about Skinner?
Sure.
Getting the impression that the ball, or puck rather, is in Botterill's end right now in regards to Skinner negotiations.
Okay.
Is there context? Does he have... Is there a source or a rationale? Has he been talking
to somebody?
He
said based on an exchange he had.
So, from a source
what did
that he's trying to keep
secret?
From
about the
that
Sabres?
Happens to be with the Sabres?
Maybe it's Super?
Perhaps. It might be Super. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
He comes up with an unnamed source that is familiar with the Sabres negotiations and says basically the same thing that Jer's source has been saying too. Huh.
Funny how that works.
Funny how that works. You hate to see it. Like, yeah, Jared's source was wrong, but that doesn't mean you got to get all snarky about it, right?
What did he have in exchange with Jason Bottrell?
I don't know.
The world may never know.
Lunch?
I mean, he's out and about. He was on the Instigators this morning. He's probably still in the city.
Who, Bottrell?
Yeah.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
He absolutely is. They're probably doing the rest of their draft prep. I think that it just, yeah, really, come on. At this point, I don't know if you've got, at this point, I really think if you got nothing new to bring to the table on Skinner, I don't know if I need it. Because who else wouldn't think that the ball is in Bottrell's court right now still? Deal's not done yet.
Well, that usually means that Skinner's camp made an offer, is the last side to make an offer. Or a counteroffer, we'll
perhaps,
say.
I guess. But still, like, I don't know. Sounds pretty dumb to me. Which brings us to the dummy of the week.
Dante, I'm trying to fight these demons, but I'm dummy thick and the clap of my ass keeps alerting them.
That's right. It's time for the dummy of the week, boys. Are you ready? For the dummy,
you and your segues
of the week.
Your segue alone should be a dummy of the week.
Look, I was already the dummy of the week on what was it, Monday?
You nominated yourself?
Yes. No way. No, last week. Yeah, last week I didn't nominate myself. I won or lost because I decided to try the orange vanilla Coca-Cola and thought it would be a good idea.
Oh.
Yeah. See, pretty dumb, right? Therefore, it is my right to nominate this week's dummy of the week. I mean, it's my bit anyway, so I guess I'll nominate them whenever the hell I damn well please. But Frank was like, no, that was pretty stupid, so that's you for that week last week. I'm like, all right, I'm not really going to argue it. Mostly because no one else did anything that stupid. Oh, but this one? We've got our clear-cut winner. Mark Stevens. Now, who, pray tell, is Mark Stevens? I hear you not asking me, but also wanting to ask me.
Keep going.
Frank asked the damn question.
Derek, who is Mark Stevens?
Mark Stevens is a Warriors minority investor who was sitting courtside during Game 3 on Wednesday night.
That the Raptors won, by the way.
Mark Stevens was near Kyle Lowry, who was trying to keep a ball in bounds and ejected himself into the crowd. Stevens then, with his courtside seats as the minority investor of the Golden State Warriors, pushed Kyle Lowry from two seats over. I hope you enjoyed those very expensive courtside seats that you probably didn't have to pay much for, seeing as how you are already an investor. So actually, yeah, you're shelling out a lot of money anyway. I hope you enjoyed them, because methinks you're never getting those seats again, Mark.
The Warriors have already said they're not letting him attend any more games.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying. I hope you enjoyed your courtside seats, because you're probably not getting them ever again.
So very smart.
Yeah, such a smart thing to do. Push a professional athlete. The hell do you think this is? Malice at the Palace? Shouldn't be doing that. Come on. Imagine that. Imagine being an investor of a team and being so butthurt that your team has injuries and is finally losing games for once that you decide you need to shove a player. And that concludes another segment of the dummy of the week. I think I have way too much fun with that segment.
I can't believe you found one that wasn't better than the Goodell one.
No, that just had me pissed off.
Right, but it's still stupid.
It's stupid, but
it can still be dummy of the week.
I mean, I guess that's fair. it could still be the Jerry Sullivan dummy of the week.
Yes.
But we found something really stupid.
Yeah.
Given to me on a silver platter yesterday.
Yeah. No, that's
and
what I
by
mean.
Silver, like, I mean it's that cheap plastic that kind of has a little bit of a shine to it.
I'm saying. Because
we're talking about the dummy of the week. You don't actually get silver, you dummy.
Yeah, you just get laughed at.
You get a styrofoam plate with silver spray paint.
Should be a golden plate, given the circumstances.
I mean, the saying of a silver platter, I mean, has anything ever been given to you on a gold platter?
No, but given the circumstances, I yes, think golden given... would have sufficed.
Shut up, dummy.
Yep. All right.
I'm going off the saying. But now we stick to the NBA Finals. Because dummy brought up the fact that he's probably never going to be courtside in an NBA game ever again. And the Warriors are suddenly looking at a 2-1 series deficit against the Toronto Raptors. And all it took for us to finally start seeing the Warriors become very mortal is injuries to two of your top three players and a transcendent talent like Kawhi Leonard on the other side. Nailed it. Oh, and DeMarcus Cousins isn't 100%. Steph Curry has to do everything, and he's carrying a bunch of schmucks. Hey, Steph, how's it feel to be LeBron James?
Right, does that sound familiar? Does it sound familiar? Steph actually made some history and joined LeBron last night.
In carrying the team on his back and losing?
Yep, second highest point total in NBA Finals history in a loss. Last year, LeBron James, 51 points.
And he
Curry's got, 47 is now second.
And he got JR'd.
And in a way, he did, yeah.
So, yeah, that's just, there it is. And I'm happy for Toronto. I really am. Because, one, they're the closest NBA team that we have here in Buffalo. We could be trying to cheer for the original Buffalo Braves, but the LA Clippers don't really do things.
Well, they beat the Warriors twice.
Yeah, and then they didn't finish the job. So, Toronto, it's on you to finish the job. But the Warriors also, at that point, had a healthy Kevin Durant.
And a healthy team.
Yeah, pretty much. They only just had DeMarcus Cousins sitting out.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson got hurt. Kevin Durant got hurt. And now Steph Curry has to do pretty much everything. Because, Draymond will get his, but...
Let me play them the song in the world's smallest violin.
Oh, wow, that really is the world's smallest violin. Oh. That's pretty impressive.
Where'd you get it?
How much did it cost?
I can't reveal that source to you.
Is it super secret?
Could be. Might not be.
I like it.
Are you Pokemon going right now?
Just checking.
You know, that's actually really interesting because I had an off topic to end the show.
Yeah.
Oh, good. So, you're welcome.
Go ahead.
With that involved Pokemon, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Because yesterday there was the Nintendo Direct with the showing of Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Yeah.
And that's coming out this year.
They're still making new Pokemon?
It's going to be on the Nintendo Switch. So, they're actually getting one for a console.
Oh, well, I'm out. Mm-hmm. I don't have that.
I mean, I do. I'm happy.
Sword and Shield, huh?
Sword and Shield.
So what generation is this going to be? Eight?
Yes.
Nine?
Yes.
Eight.
Are they in the 800?
And two of the legendaries
are...
800. Jesus Christ. These legendaries are doggos.
They are doggos.
They are good doggos. One has a shield for a face, and the other is just a doggo holding a sword in his mouth.
Good doggo.
Interesting.
I would totally pet the sword doggo.
Yeah.
And hope I don't know if I can. I don't know if I could pet the shield doggo. I'd hit the shield. You're not petting a shield.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I want to give credit or, like, wonder how deep these creators' imaginations go because I lost, I don't want to say respect.
Well,
I just lost a lot of interest in the Pokemon games when I suddenly was firing them up and catching things that looked like a keychain and ice cream.
Yeah, no, I agree with
you. Ice cream.
No, I'm with you.
Six keys. Like, I'm catching keys and cogs in a machine?
Gen 5 was where it did it for me. That was just like, you're an actual garbage bag. And you're actually ice cream. I don't like this.
Yeah, that was...
Do something different. and call me in the morning.
But what?
And then they did, and I was actually kind of impressed from there. I'm still a nerd at heart, though, and that's probably why. But well,
the reason that they can still come up with a lot of designs is because it's based off of the region that they use for these games. So
also, you could just go walk and figure out. All right, I've got an off idea here. They're doing a sheep again, like Mary got tossed to the frickin' void.
Yeah, because the sword and shield.
It's a cute little electric.
I called mine the Reaper.
See?
This next generation games.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's Mareep. Mareep was one of my favorite Gen 2 Pokemon. They're just tossing it aside with another sheep.
Was that the Quillfish generation?
Do you know how they come up with the designs?
Yes, that was the Quillfish generation.
Loved it. What's up?
You know how they come up with the designs?
Carefully.
Carefully.
Carefully. But they go to the place where they base the region off of. Like, this next set of generation games is based more like England.
Yep, makes sense because of the sword and shield.
The last one was Hawaii, correct?
Yep. Yes.
Alola?
Yep.
And then the one before that, Kalos, was France.
Yeah. So, like, they'll send people to England and France and Hawaii.
I wonder where Johto and Kanto are from. Probably the regions of Johto and Kanto in Japan.
Maybe. Hoenn as well, and Sinnoh.
Maybe.
I wonder where Sinnoh is. Maybe it's that big island that's north. Then Unova's New York City.
Again, dumb.
Yeah.
Don't premise things off of America. We suck.
Yeah. So this next set of generation games is based in England. So they'll go to England and look at animals there and look at things to get their ideas
for
the game.
How do you end up on dog legendaries, though, including one that just holds a sword? It's a great design. But he's holding a goddamn sword.
Wolf breeds?
Do they hold swords?
Well, you can add stuff.
You can add.
Say you add a sword and a shield.
I'm going to give my dog a fake, like a toy sword, and see if she'll just carry it around the entire time. We'll see
what
happens.
Probably will if it squeaks.
The dog or the sword?
What kind of dogs do you have?
What kind of dog do you have?
I mean, these are the questions we got to ask. Developers right now.
Squeaky! There's something wrong with my dog. Squeaky! Oh, well. Anyway.
Let's be real. If you give Riley a squeaky sword, she'll carry it around all the time.
A, you're not wrong. B, I don't know where I was going with B. Anyway, my main point of all of this was to really, this is going to be another we put Kyle on the spot thing here again. So I'm going to have fun with your head exploding, Mr. Squeaky Dog.
Okay.
Who's your six?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Kyle's got the pen. It's time.
I'm going to forget a lot of them.
Are you going to forget your favorites?
I don't know, man. I might. Hang on.
Excuse me. All right. Well, I mean, I can probably do mine off the top of my head.
Okay, go for it.
All right. Well, I would start off with, you know, Squirtle. He's the dude. He's the best starter at me. At Derek Kramer 49, bring it. Frank's already staring at me. Don't stare me always. Then I would go with Sandshrew Sandslash. There at the two, Espeon, my favorite evolution, the psychic type. There, Ponyta. You need a fire type. Why not a the horse that's on fire? Why not, right? I think that's the greatest idea. Are we allowing ourselves a legendary? Like, do we get one? Does everybody get one?
I'm down for that.
All right.
Okay, sure.
All right, then. I'm going to take the Ice Burb, Articuno. And then, I just mentioned him. To get an electric type, I need my dog Mareep. and then evolve it to that Ampharos. There you go. There's my six. Squirtle, Sandshrew, Mareep, Ponyta, Espeon, and then Articuno Iceburb. There you go. And I'm one of those idiots that will just play these games just to have my favorites. I don't try to get the strongest things possible. I'm not a dick. Like, you saw Frank playing Pokemon Go. I'm pretty much trash compared to a lot of the people that I know that play this. Hell, a lot of the people that we work with that play this.
True.
I did not know Brayton was all that into it, let alone has things that would wreck my stuff any day of the week.
What is the name of that Pokemon?
Who's that Pokemon? It's Pikachu! Damn it!
I'll find it.
All right, I have my six.
All right. I'm going to help Kyle for a second. List off your six.
So, I'm taking one from your list, Derek.
You bastard!
And Espeon, because Espeon is also my favorite evolution. So, Espeon. Next one would be Heracross. Heracross is my favorite bug type, and it's bug fighting. Swampert.
You have such a weird...
Okay. I don't know what's going on here. Okay. My third, Swampert.
Okay. You like that Mudkip?
Yes, I do like the Mudkip, and Swampert's very, very good.
I listed out the starters as they were, not as what they would be. I said Squirtle instead of Blastoise, but carry on.
Growlithe would be my other one, Arcanine.
Oh, of course, yes.
My fire type, you know that. Aerodactyl.
Okay.
Love me the Aerodactyl.
That's what its name is.
Kyle figured something out.
I'm halfway there.
And then, since we can have a legendary, I'll go with my favorite one, Zapdos.
You get the Zappy Burb.
Yes.
All right. And I just thought of it, if you couldn't have a legendary, I'd replace Articuno with Crobat.
That's not bad. Not bad. If I couldn't have Zapdos, I would replace him with Raichu.
All right. It's Pikachu! Damn it! All right, Kyle.
I don't have a starter.
You don't
need the easy part.
You don't. Here's the thing.
You don't need one.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Pick your favorite. Pick your best six. Just pick your favorite. Yeah.
All right. I think a lot of these are from Gen 3.
I'm noticing some Gen 2 for you, but I saw the start of your list.
Well, that's a given.
It's Quillfish. Why is it Quillfish?
You always got to throw Quillfish out there and rip some toxic spikes on the ground. So for the rest of the game, everybody's poisoned.
Dude, that's smart.
That's all I did. It's that or Rock Spikes with somebody else. But yeah, Quillfish was my dude. All right, Quillfish. Dude, I'm going to change this 89 times by the time I get home.
Oddly specific.
Well, all right, Quillfish. I liked Honchkrow, too.
All right, random, but carry on.
I thought he was a boss. He was quite literally a boss bird. And I thought that was really
cool.
Dark
bird, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Aggron.
Okay.
Nice.
The metal one.
Big fan of Aggron.
He was aggressive looking.
Manectric.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Gen 3.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Electric Doggo.
Yep, and then a couple of flying dogs. Salamence.
Oh.
Okay.
Draggy.
And then, since I didn't have a starter because I was a degenerate, my legendary would probably be Rayquaza.
Okay. Yeah, he does draggies. Have a lot of. He's got Quillfish and a bunch of Gen 3s.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, then. Now, if I had to twist your arm and make you pick a starter, what would you do?
It would probably end up being Blaziken.
Okay. You get the one whose middle evolution looks like a penis.
Well, you can't win them all.
Okay. Come on. Tell me that that's not what Combustkin looks like.
You got to risk it to get the biscuits sometimes.
Okay, apparently. A little more metaphorically. All right. This has been the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank R. Curry.
And Kyle Powell.
And we'll see what happens with Monday. Thanks for listening, as always. And, hey, the 11-day power play. We are a month and change away. Please help us out. Get some donations going at Derek Kramer 49. It's my pinned tweet.
At Frank R. Curry, it's my pinned tweet.
And if you know anyone else playing, of course, give them their support. Give them your support as well. So until next time, f*** your quillfish.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.